Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Chapter 1 is the grace of God. In so many ways, Now, let's go down to verse 18, chapter 1, the book of 1 Corinthians, written to the church at Corinth. And he said, "The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolish. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." You got one thing looked at two different ways. You ever had somebody laugh at you because you say you believe in the resurrection? You believe in heaven? You believe in hell? You believe in angels? And you believe in all them fairy tales? Well, you know what? If you want to prove something, you go in there and you see all the places where God predicted stuff hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and then you see everything He predicted has come true. Amen? So to me, it's not a fairy tale. People say, "Well, the Lord, He hadn't come back 2,000 years. Well, if you look in your Bibles between the Old Testament and New Testament, God took what? About a 400-year break. He didn't talk to anybody then. He did answer prayers, but there was no prophet, no word of God coming for 400 years. But that didn't mean anything to God. Why? God doesn't wear a watch. God's eternal. God's everlasting. He's going to share that with us. I talked to a lady this afternoon, a little over a year ago. She lost her youngest daughter after a long, long fight with crippling arthritis. And she said, "But you know, I can't be sad for her because she's not hurting anymore. It hit her when she was just a child, a little 4 or 5 year old child. Her mother, they were going somewhere, and she said, 'Mama, I can't hardly pick my legs up. They're so heavy.' And that's when they found out she had that." Listen, that mother thanks God for the promises of God that her baby girl is all right now, that she'll see her again one day. Now, verse 19, God says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." Somebody thinks they're too smart for God. They got a pretty high opinion of themselves, haven't they? My daughter one time, she was so upset she didn't make the top 10 of her graduating class in high school. She graduated number 4 in her class from college, but she didn't make the top 10. And I said, "Here, let me show you something." And I showed her a picture of me in Atlanta, Georgia in the 3rd grade. She said, "Well, so what?" Then I turned the album. I said, "Look here. First one was 1957. Then I showed her one from 1958. I'm still in the 3rd grade. And she said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, the teacher liked me so much she wanted me back. She just didn't want to pass me on." That was my theory on it. I don't know. And my daughter said, "Well, I guess it's a miracle I'm even passing school with you and my daddy." But listen, God said, "I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise." We look at around us today and we see what our world is coming to. We see our leaders who say, "Well, I'm a good Christian," but then they support every perverse thing that comes down the road. Now, you have to make a stand somewhere. I understand that I spoke and prayed at the swearing in of Judge Wyatt Burke. And I'm up on stage and I read in prayer and I said, "Now, one thing I want you to do, Judge Burke, I know you're a good Christian man, I know you got strong belief, but I don't want you, when you're a judge, go by the laws, not by your faith." And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, "Your job is not to be the preacher of this county, it's to be the judge. And it's limited. So you got to know your place. There's nothing wrong with science. There's nothing in the Bible that should put science and the Bible fighting each other. Nothing wrong with faith. They can go very well together. Amen. But some people don't speak up because you say, well, I'm not qualified. Oh, they'll put me to shame. Blah, 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 blah. God said, I'll destroy that wisdom. I'll make it into nothing. You don't have to be ashamed of your simple faith in God. Amen. One of the leading theologians of the last century said, what's the greatest thing you know about the Bible after studying and writing? He said, I can put it simply, it's a song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. This was a great thinker, world-renowned theologian. He said, the best thing is the simple things. The best things are the simple things. He said, verse 20, where is the wise of this age? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer? God just going to push him aside. Oh, I like that. Now we're going to skip down to verse 26. And this is what the part I'm thankful for, this next section. Verse 26. Boy, I'm telling you, whoever's running that, y'all are good. I said, verse 20, they're already there. Oh, listen, Paul says to the church, for you see your calling, brethren. Now, look back on your life. There were not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble. In other words, God called the everyday man and woman off the street to be his children. Now, God will accept the wise. God will accept the mighty. God will accept the powerful. God will accept the noble. But that's not a qualification. That's not a qualification. God said, I just chose anybody that would come to me and put his faith in my son, Jesus Christ. If you do that, then God says you're my type person. Amen. There's some people like to strut around. You know, they talk about their ancestors. Oh, my ancestors came over on the Mayflower. I said, well, mine came with Oglethorpe. And they said, Oglethorpe, yeah. I said, he brought prisoners over to settle Georgia. You know, and mine came with him. And some people say, well, my ancestors fought with George Washington. I said, why? Couldn't they get along? Listen, there's nothing wrong with having somebody. I like to watch these people. Sometimes you see them and they believe in reincarnation. I went back and checked my past and 500 years ago I was a king. None of them ever say 500 years ago I was a garbage collector. They always find something good, don't they? God said, I called you. I called you. Not because you're special, but I called you to make you special. There's a lot of difference from God calling you special and calling yourself special. He said, God, verse 27, chose, now, this one fits me, God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I had a friend one time, he was an atheist, he was a psychologist, and I was seeing him, he lived over in Murfreesboro, and he just bought a motorcycle. I said, let's go for a ride. So we hopped on that thing, and he's kind of new at it, and this lady backed out right in front of us. And she did everything she could to stop the wreck. She did this. We just saw her hands go up. She hit the brakes. And we're all over the road. I mean, we finally got stopped. I'm shaking. He's shaking. And the lady just drove off. And I said, well, we about found out what, didn't we? He said, find out what? I said, which one is right? He had told me he was too well educated to believe in God. He said, I don't need no sermon right now. I said, you about heard your last one. You have a few more of those trips, and I want to tell you, that man is saved today. Amen? He came in from Texas when I preached my first sermon. He was in the military, just happened to come in, and he came, as he said, to watch me make a fool of myself. His mother told him I was preaching, My first sermon, he said, I'm going to watch him make a fool of himself. His wife got saved that day. Made him so mad he couldn't see straight. Oh, he was hopping mad. But since then, he's got saved. God chose the foolish things of this world. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you will give yourself wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ, you can stand up to anybody, any place, anywhere. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about getting in somebody's face and arguing with them. That's not going to win anybody to the Lord. But you don't have to back down on what you believe. Do you believe there's a God? You believe that Jesus Christ is His Son? Do you believe He's born of a virgin, died, and was buried, and rose again the third day? And the really good part, He's coming back. He's coming back. Oh, my aunt always wanted to be alive when Jesus came back. Oh, she just wanted so bad to do that. She just wanted, but she didn't live that long. God called her up before He came down. But either way, I believe she's happy right now. Amen. God called the foolish things of this world. And I wear this shirt, and I wear it proudly. It's a true story. It's a true story. Don't be ashamed to just simply say, I believe the Word of God. I believe the written Word of God, and I believe the living Word of God. I believe the Word of God. God said it. That settles it. That's over. Amen. No more need for discussion. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound those things that are mighty. And God chose, verse 28, the base things of this world. What does base mean? It just simply means this. God chose people. It's from the word we kind of get genealogy from. God said, I chose the people who don't have an outstanding family tree to put in my family tree. I don't care if your ancestors were kings or queens. If your father's not God, it doesn't matter who your ancestors are. Amen. God said, I'm not looking for a pedigree. You may say, well, my mom and daddy were this, or my mom and daddy that. I came from a poor family. We had a bad reputation, blah, blah, blah. God said, I don't care about that at all. I don't care about your family tree. God doesn't ask you, who's your great-grandfather? God says, do you believe in my Son, Jesus Christ? And if you can say yes to that, then God said, you're good enough for me. Come on in, child. Come on in. Amen. I asked my granny, we know nothing about my family. My daddy was 6 years old when his mother, father, and grandmother that lived with him died within, I think, 10 days of each other. I asked my only living grandparent I'd ever known, my mother's mother. I said one time, Granny, tell me about our ancestors. She said, what? I said, tell me about our ancestors. She said, they're dead. Don't worry about them. Granny was real practical. She didn't waste a lot of time worrying about stuff like that. But I know people, and there's nothing wrong with it. I talked to a fella who said he could trace his ancestors back to Norway in the 1100s. But you know what? Not one of those ancestors could change his life. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Don't be ashamed. Don't say, well, you know, I don't have a big family tree. I'm not one of the rich kids. I'm not one of the bright ones. All you need to say is, I'm God's child. Amen. If you can say that, then you've got everything you need to lead a healthy life, a wonderful life, a blessed life. I may not know my ancestors, but I know who died for my sins. I know who paid the price for my sins. And I know there were a lot of sins that He had to cover. But nothing I ever did, no sin I ever committed, was greater than God's ability to forgive that sin. I've talked to people who tell me it's too late, I've gone too far. And I say, if you're still alive, you can still turn. I talked to a young man once, he was drinking his life away, since died of alcohol. He said, I used to be on fire for God. I got off track. I said, well, you know the wonderful thing about God? He said, what? I said, he allows you to make a U-turn. He allows you to make a U-turn. My friend just hung his head. Now he's dead. There'll be no turning after that. There'll be no second chance. Some people say, well, you might have a second chance. When Jesus died, some people say he went into hell and he preached the gospel to those in hell. You ever heard that? Well, listen, I want to tell you something. I believe Jesus went to heaven when he died. Why? Because the Bible says so. It said, when the thief on the cross put his faith in him, Jesus said what? Today you'll be with me in hell? No! He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Now you think of that paradise and you get up in the morning and it's nice, and then when you go to bed tomorrow night and it's about 14 degrees and you get up the next morning and it's 5 degrees. Had a fellow call me, he said, Brother Gray! I said, what? He said, I need some wood. I said, I took you a trailer load and a truck load 6 weeks ago. Where is it? He said, I burned it all up already. He said, I think something's wrong with my stove. It hadn't even been cold. I don't know why. I said, well, I got one truckload left. You can have it. So if y'all want to come unload it tomorrow, you're welcome to. Listen, you might run out of things on this earth, but you'll never run out of grace if you put your hands in the hands of Jesus. Never. Never. I chose the base things, the lowly things, the disgraceful things of this world to be my special gift. That's what God says. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. Why? Go down to verse 29. This will be what we close on. I didn't choose you because of anything you've done. I don't want anybody rejoicing in heaven saying, I worked my way in. That no flesh should glory in the presence of God. Sigmund Freud once said, if there's a God, I'm going to stand before him and I'm going to take a cancerous bone from a child that died of cancer and shake it in God's face and say, why'd you let this happen? I got a feeling Mr. Freud's going to have other things on his mind when he stands before God. Amen? Heard a preacher this afternoon. He said a few years ago, on the day he was diagnosed with cancer, his father was murdered. He said, my world was rocked. He said, I thought, you know, they told me I had cancer and it could be rough. And he said, then I get the news my father's been murdered. And the interviewer said, well, what'd you do? And he said, I got down on my knees and said, God, I don't care what's happening. I know you're a good God. I know you're a good God. And I'm going to trust you. Now, that's faith. Amen. Amen. It's so easy to have faith when things are going good. Faith is most valuable when there's a trial. You know, a life jacket... A life jacket really helps you when you hit the water, doesn't it? Doesn't any good when it's laying up on the boat and you ain't got it on. Listen, Jesus Christ is our life jacket. And I don't ever want to take him off. I won't see a lot of this first time I've seen y'all all winter. And hopefully we'll see you again Sunday. Do we have a service? What time Sunday?
11 o'clock.
Huh? That's awful late to get out. Okay. Oh, you mean in the morning. 11 in the morning. Christmas Day service. I hope you can make it. I hope you have a good time with your family and friends. And remember, Every day is a good day to pray. Amen? Every day is a good day to be nice. Every day is a good time to offer forgiveness. But the best thing about today is the Bible said today can be the day of salvation if you'll put your faith in Him. I want you to bow your heads for a moment.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's Word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's Word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.